This well-known yet often neglected verse of Scripture brings to our attention what is known as the immutability of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And we have to declare from the outset, without having to go to prove it, and I would imagine that 100% of those that are present in this meeting house tonight believe that Jesus Christ is God. And therefore, he has all the attributes of divinity. And therefore, whatever we ascribe to God, or whatever is ascribed to God in Holy Scripture, whether in the Old or New Testaments, it belongs to Jesus Christ. He is God. He is the second person of the triune Jehovah God, the creator of the ends of the earth. And while he became a man, we should never think of Jesus Christ as just someone who is human. He is the God-man. And he is deity veiled in human flesh. And in heaven, he has his human body. It was raised with him. But he's deity. He's the ruler of the universe. And the Apostle Paul, who we believe to be the writer of the book of Hebrews, he got it right whenever he penned those words, because it can only be penned of someone who is God. Here's a verse when you really could bring to the Mormon, and you could bring to the Jehovah Witness, and you could say to them, do you have a copy of the Bible, or you have access to the Bible? Yes, I do. Well, let me show you, either on your phone or you've got the printed page. There's a verse there. Could you explain that verse? Jesus Christ the same, yesterday, today, forever. Forever. Now that's, I believe, an attribute that can only be ascribed to God, because it is immutability. That's what it means. Unchangeably the same. No deviation in his perfections, in his essence, in everything he is. He's without change, and neither can he be changed. In other words, there's no influence and there's no other power that can change his being. He is ultimate in everything. He has authority in all things. And this well-known yet often neglected verse of Scripture, it brings to our attention what I believe to be a vital doctrine of Holy Scripture and Christian belief, and that is the immutability of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. In simple terms, the doctrine of immutability means that Christ as God has never, can never, and will never change. Now, if we could only grasp that as believers, it would make a difference in our lives. Because everything that happens to us is change. And change and decay, as the hymn writer penned, all around I see. And it's true. Everything that's happening to you, it's change. And your attitudes change. And your moods change. And your response to things change. And it's true. And we're not always the same. We don't have immutability. It can never be said of Thomas Martin. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. All may change, but Thomas never. I don't think we could ever sing that in this church. Never could we. Nor of any other person, except for Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. And therefore, if we could grasp and understand that he never changes, Jesus Christ the same. Now, if you go back to the day you were saved, if you can remember that far back, and I'm sure many of you can remember that far back, but if you can remember that far back, for some, it may not be all that long ago. For me, it's about 38 years ago. For others, maybe it's 40 or 50 or 60 years, we don't know. But I'm sure you can remember it, and I'm sure you can remember the joy of those early days when you were saved. The great peace that you felt, which you never felt before. And the happiness, the contentment, and the thought that your sins were forgiven. And the tears. I remember whenever I was first saved in prison, folks were writing to me, Christians were writing to me. And I didn't know the Bible. I hardly could even find a book of the Bible. And they wrote verses to me. But there was one girl in particular, and Donna Kyle from Ballymena. And Donna was writing into Christian prisoners, and she always signed off with Psalm 103. And I started to read that psalm. And as I read that psalm, I want to tell you something. The tears streamed down my face. Oh, to read the word of God like that today. And I wonder, when was the last time that I shed a tear and I read the Word of God. I want to tell you, before I went to bed, I took out my Bible, and before the lights were switched out by the prison officer, I read Psalm 103. Tonight, but was getting changed and getting ready for the meeting, I was quoting the psalm, word perfect, memorizing it right through, and just bringing it to the Lord. I got as far as verse 13, and then I stopped. I just didn't want to test my memory beyond that. It's my birthday today, and it's a big one, 60. It's hard to believe. I only look, as someone says, I don't believe it, 60. You look like 70. Now, I'm only jesting. A big birthday, but I want to tell you, those early days of memorizing Scripture, they stay with you. And I quoted that I remember the joy. I really remember it. I remember the peace. I never forget, and I mean this, going up to the washroom in the maze prison. You needed to see it. And you go in there, they're just rows of sinks. And there you are. And they're wee small sinks. And there's just a wee place where you can set your soap on or whatever it is, and you can shave, and there's a little bit of a mirror, and the guard standing over there, and boys over on the other side, and then a bath, and then some wee shower cubicles, and the floor was made out of hard tile, and it was a sort of red coloured tile. And it was something you would find at a pedestrian crossing. And they use it for people who are blind, because they can stand and they can feel those little bumps underneath their feet. And they know that they're standing at the crossing. And I think also, if you could test it someday, whenever sometimes there's not the beep for those that are blind, they can put their hand underneath the little button and there's a wee thing turns round. And that's how they know the light has turned red and they can cross the road. Should try that someday just to see. I did it one day and the thing didn't work. So dear help someone coming across that road. I can tell you without that green man flashing or the beep to let them know. But I remember walking up into that washroom and your bare feet, that was really hard tile. And you could feel every bump underneath it. And even in slippers or even in your shoes, you could always feel the bumps underneath it. Whenever I was first saved, I want to tell you something. That tile floor became like, not that I've ever walked on it, by the way, like 6 inches of Axminster carpet. You ever walked on 6 inches of Axminster carpet? If you say yes, I want to ask you, when were you in Buckingham Palace? maybe you do have it in your house, the best. We never had it. You know, the old lino, that's as far as we got, and the old wooden floor, there was no carpet on it whatsoever. But I want to tell you, the tears, the joy, and I remember all that. I remember it well. I'll never forget it. And I remember just standing there, and I confessed Christ with my mouth when I told my brother David. And the Bible says when your confession is made with the mouth unto salvation, the joy and peace flooded my soul. I really mean that. I can still feel it now. The joy, the peace. And I just literally, in my own soul, as if I was shouting out, I'm saved, I'm saved, I know it, I'm saved, I'm saved. And I knew it. Well, Jesus Christ, the same one that forgave me, cleansed me, washed me, filled me with joy, is the same yesterday, today, aye, and forever. And if we could grasp that, he knows no change. Oh, we actually try to believe the Lord has changed. He doesn't care about me anymore. He's not interested in me anymore. He's punishing me. How often the devil will tell you that? The Lord's punishing you. This has happened because you're not living right. You know, I want to tell you something. In most cases, that is not true. When the Lord chastens you, you'll know it. You'll know it's the hand of God, and you'll know to repent of your sin. But in most cases, and I'm saying in most cases, it is not true. The Lord is not punishing you at all. And the devil wants you to think he's changed. And if we could only grasp that great truth yesterday, think of all he has done for you. Think of it. Answers to prayer. And think of the word he's given you. The promises. Think of the comfort. Think of the help. Think of the problems you were in and he delivered you out of them. Think of the times whenever, if the Lord hadn't stepped in, it was shipwreck. It was over. God rescued. God was good then. Do you think he's changed? No, he hasn't. Because he's immutable. Always the same. He is by his very nature unchangeable. And therefore he will never deviate from his revealed purpose. From his truth. And his love and care. And his concern for you as his child. This means that our Lord, being immutable, is as powerful as he ever was. He created the earth and he's never changed. That power has not lost anything of its ancient touch. That power is still working in you and through you and around you today. And it's working on your behalf today. And he never changes. The same power that the Lord used to create this earth was the same power that he raised his son from the dead with. You'll read that in scripture, and I want to tell you, that's the same power whereby in Christ you and I were raised from the deadness of our sin to newness of life. And that's the same power that's working in and through and around us. And it never changes. And Christ never changes. And what he was yesterday, and I want to tell you, I can remember it. And what he is today, he will always be, for he knows no change. He never can be changed. And he never can alter in his essence, who he is, and in his perfections. He cannot deviate. He's always the same. Now, we have heard it said of individuals, no matter how old they get, they say, you always look the same. But I want to tell you something, that is not true. You look at them when they were 18, then have a look at them whenever they were 60 or 70. Oh, they have changed, all right. They have changed. Now, this is one of the essential doctrines of biblical Christianity. And yet few of God's people, and I mean this, very few master it. Very few enter into the experience and what it really is to do in our hearts and lives and what God intended it to mean to us. I believe that we could ask the question, why is the immutability of Christ so important? Well, I want to tell you why. Because change implies imperfection. And if God could change, and if he could be something that he says he was at the start and he's different now, then that implies imperfection. Imperfection. Now, we have seen this. And they have now this phone out. And they say, this is a better one. So that change implies that that was an imperfect one. There's a better one than that. Yes. And then the latest car. Well, if we're talking to farmers, the latest tractor. And they'll say, you know, that tractor's far better. And in 10 years, you wouldn't believe the advancements they've made. I was sitting, as I told you, McDonald's is a tremendous place to pick up information. I have to say that. Tremendous place. And as I said to you, they thought it was Jim Allister at that stage in Oma. And then they discovered who it was. But two young fellas came in and they were sitting beside June and I. And it's not that we eavesdrop, we don't. But I can hear conversations going on around me. And I've had that knack from when I was a child, living where I was. And then in the prison, you could literally hear, I could be talking to someone, I can hear a couple of conversations, and I can hear people saying things. And I have that knack, but I don't eavesdrop. But you would say that is eavesdropping, and it's not. But we were sitting, and those couple of men, I was sitting here, June there, and those young fellows were sitting there, and they started to talk about tractors. And I could near do all I can before I could start laughing. They talked about the inside of a tractor. And they're only young fellas. And they talked their names. I felt to myself, if I could only learn what they had, I could impress some people at Harvest Services. I really could. And they talked about, I couldn't even mention some of the names. They talked about the engine size. They talked about all the power that's in it. And they were talking about the heart of the tractor. And they went on and on and on and on. And you know something? These are the new ones. And that implies that the other ones weren't as good. These are better. And this is the tractor you would want. Certainly wouldn't be the one I want. If my car ever broke down, somebody's come by in the tractor. He says, I'm okay. I'll walk. I know it's snowing. I know it's a blizzard. I know a 40 mile to get home, but I'll walk. I'm only jesting. But I want to tell you something. That implies imperfection. In technology, imperfection. And there's no doubt that even in the latest vaccine, they're talking about this variant, that it may not be as effective. So there's an imperfection there. And so immutability, if we understand it, means there's no change. And what Christ is, he doesn't need to be perfected. He doesn't need more counsel. He doesn't need more experience. He doesn't need to deal with his church for a few more hundred years before he perfects how to take care of those that are bereaved, those that are sick, those who have fallen, those who are backslidden, those who don't obey him, those who are going on with him but are being persecuted by the church, those who are being driven into the courts because of the sodomite or the pro-abortionist, those who are being banned from preaching the word of God, those that are being tortured to death, those who are languishing in a prison cell for their faith. No, he's the same. He knows how to handle every one of us perfectly. And he never changes. And he's never influenced to change by circumstances. We change. Some people maybe have views and ideas how to do something, and then they discover it's wrong, and they discover that the best thing they can do is something else, and they realize, well, I was way off the mark there, because we're not immutable. We're not the same. But he is. In fact, that truth is borne out greatly for us in Holy Scripture. For I am the Lord. I am the Lord, I change not. Malachi 3 and verse 6. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. I don't change. You've changed. You've departed from me. You've changed course. You've changed direction. You've changed the gods that you're worshipping. You have changed in your attitude and your love for me. But I haven't. I am the Lord. I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. And if I wasn't immutable and I wasn't always the same, then I would change. And it wouldn't be for the good. And you would be consumed, Jacob, Israel. James 1:17, to give the two testaments and to bear witness to the truth, the number two. James 1:17, it says, every good and perfect gift cometh from a perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, in whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Did the Lord not say through the prophet Isaiah, for I am God, there is none else? And he says, there's none like unto me. Listen to this. Declaring the end from the beginning and from the ancient times of things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure. And therefore I will not change. My counsel will stand. It'll never have to be changed. You know, people are doing away with the Bible and they're saying it's outdated. It's not relevant for today. And therefore, it's not needful today. It is. The Lord never changes. The Lord never changes. And he says, my counsel shall stand. What I've said will never need corrected. There'll never need to be a translator to come and tell me that I got it wrong. And that I wasn't up on science. And I didn't really know the laws of nature. And therefore, we have to correct the Bible in order to get the Bible more scientific and more into line with the laws of nature. Not at all. In fact, they're discovering now that what men are doing has to be brought in line with the Word of God. In Psalm 33, the Bible says, and the psalmist said, the counsel of the Lord standeth forever. The thoughts of his heart to all generations. And we can sing, can't we? O thou who changest not, O thou who changest not, thou changest not, we can sing. Thy compassions they fail not, as thou hast been, thou forever wilt be. And this evening, very briefly, as we come to our season of prayer, let me outline to you some areas where we can look at the immutability of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus Christ will never change in regard to his power. Now, when we say that, we just don't mean that he can do all things. There's more to that word in Scripture than just someone who has power. In fact, this verse tells us that the Lord Jesus Christ, he says, all power is given unto me. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And the word power here literally means the power of choice. To do as you please. The power of choice. To do as you please. And the liberty to do whatever you want. Now, I know some people will say man's free and he can do whatever he wants and he can choose whatever he wants. But in many ways, God restrains man And he doesn't have that ultimate power and authority to do as he pleases. You remember Abimelech? God restrained him from taking another man's wife. And the Lord withheld that woman from him. And he said, God said that, I know. And I withheld her from thee, lest you sinned against me. So even the king, who was ultimate power in his day, had not the authority to do as he pleases. The Lord was in control, even of an ungodly king and the lusts of an ungodly man's flesh. But this word power belonging unto Christ, all power is given unto me. And when you think of immutability and Christ having all power, it means that Christ has the freedom to choose to do as he pleases, and nobody can say to him, what doest thou? You can't say you're wrong. You can't say, why did you do that? You should not have done that. Christ says, all power is given unto me. And he is immutable, the same yesterday, today and forever. And he has that freedom to do with us as he pleases. And therefore, Christ's immutability gives him the right to deal with me as he pleases. And he says, all power is mine. And I can use it for my glory. And remember, I don't change in my love for you. Therefore, what I allow in your life and what I choose for you, and I'm at liberty to do that. And I don't have to ask your opinion. And I don't have to have some conversation with you. And I don't have you to rubber stamp what I do, or to sign a little piece of paper agreeing that I could do this for you or do this in your life. No, the Lord's saying, when he says all power is mine, it literally means the power of choice, the freedom and liberty to do as one pleases. Now, only someone who's always the same could ever have that kind of power. Can you imagine someone coming in an election and saying, if you give me this power and authority, I promise you that I'd bring the rates down. I promise you there'll be lower taxes. I think if anybody lowered taxes, they'd get in, no matter who they are. If they could do that, no matter who you are, you could put up a goat or a horse with a rose head on it and say, this horse, this goat will lower taxes. People would vote them in. They probably have voted in many a goat, I know. Sorry to any of our politicians who may be listening. I doubt it though. But I want to say this. It's the power of authority or influence as well. The word means the power to influence things. Now we talk about it's not what you know, but who you know. In the echelons of power around us. But in connection with our Lord, it literally means he has the authority to direct and to govern and to rule all things. Now immutability, always the same. If that belonged to a despot or a monster, or a barefaced liar, or an individual who was wicked to the core, we're in big trouble. But to one who says, God is love, the Lord is merciful, gracious, slow to anger, plenteous in mercy, not dealt with us after our sins, not rewarded us according to our iniquities. When immutability belongs to the divine being, and then we say that he will not change in regard to his power, it means that everything he does in our lives, everything he directs and governs according to his will be perfect and will be done out of love because he never changes. Immutability is linked perhaps to every single dealing of Christ in your life and mine. Jesus Christ is in control of everything. That's what the word power means. And he commanded us, he says, all power is given unto me. All power, the liberty to do as I please, and the freedom to influence whatever I want. And then he says, in the light of that, go ye therefore and teach all nations. And that's exactly why we go, because he's immutable, he's always the same. And he commands us because he has the power of doing as he pleases, saving who he wants, blessing when he wants. Whatever he wants to do, he does it for his glory. When we think of his created power, he created the world. That's what's working on our behalf. the power to influence your life and to influence your life always for the good. And whatever's going on around you, whatever's happening within you, whatever you're called upon to face and whatever you're going through or will go through, remember this, he's always the same. And he influences and he has the power to do as he pleases and he's perfect and he'll never cause you a needless tear. And therefore, whatever he does, he'll always do it because he loves you and he's the same. He cannot change. I think of his redemptive power. He not only can save us, he would never abandon us, but he keeps us. And no matter what happens to you or comes your way, and as a believer, he keeps you. And he looks after you. And he's the good shepherd. And he's the chief shepherd. And he's the great shepherd. And he's your shepherd. Nothing will destroy or defeat you. You are eternally secure in him. He's given you eternal life and he'll never take it from you because he's immutable. He's without change. And what he has promised, what he has given, he cannot break it. I think not only Jesus Christ will never change in regard to his power, I want to think very quickly of his promises. He'll never change in regard to his promises. In fact, Abraham, Paul says that. Abraham speaks of Abraham like this, being fully persuaded that what he had promised, immutable, he was also able to perform. He would be the same. The same one that said, I'll do this, is the same one that actually will do it. The same one that promised all those years ago that Abraham would have a son. And years passed by, and humanly speaking, it was impossible. And we know that Sarah was beyond the age of women for bearing children. And we know that Abraham, now he thought that in the flesh he would help the Lord. And therefore he took Hagar, and then he had Ishmael. And thinking that he says, well, God's not able to do this, but I'll do it. I'll do it. And realizing his folly, God rebuking him and sending the angels that day and coming himself in person and said at the set time, Sarah shall have a son. And she laughed. It was the laugh of unbelief. And the Lord, nobody heard it. She laughed in her own heart. She didn't laugh out loud. And the Lord knew. The Lord knew. And he says, wherefore didst thou laugh? And she says, I didn't. And nobody could prove it. There's not a maid servant or a man servant, and neither Abraham heard her laugh. She laughed within her heart. It was basically, and it's not out loud, it's basically in the heart going, I'm sure. But she didn't speak. But the Lord said, wherefore did you laugh? She told a lie. She said, I didn't laugh. I didn't. It's very interesting that she was in the tent and she was in the kitchen and she was preparing food. But she heard the conversation because she laughed. I want to tell you something. She was eavesdropping. She was at the tent and she was at the canvas and the goatskin and she was listening. Oh, she was eavesdropping, that's for sure. And she heard the conversation. And then she laughed within her own soul because she didn't want anybody to know how close she was to the tent, listening to the conversation with those men, the Lord, the angel, and Abraham. And as a direct result of that, the Lord says, you did laugh. You did. But unbelief cannot even stop me doing what I promised Abraham. And then Abraham fully persuaded that what God had promised, he had said it there and then, he'll be the same. And when it happened, Abraham says, immutable. Always the same. Never changes. And you know, he has promised to save. And we can go forward, even in the last outreach that we have with our calendars, knowing the Lord has promised to save. He's promised through the preaching of the word to save them that believe. He's promised. And as you work among the boys and girls, as you labor in the Sunday school, as you work among the young people, young adults, as you go and do outreach, as we minister here and pray, the Lord has promised to save. I'll build my church. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He's immutable. What he said, he will do. And he will not break his word. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh out of no wise cast out. All that the Father giveth. And he gave them in eternity past. And he's always the same. He'll keep his word. He'll never break it. And you'll find him true. Therefore we should evangelize with confidence and with certainty. Christ has a people out there. And they will be saved. And we have got to go and fetch them and bring them in. He's promised to supply every need that you have. My God shall supply. Jehovah Jireh. The Lord shall see the need and will supply the need. And I was bringing needs to the Lord today. And the Lord encouraged my heart and gave me that assurance that he has heard my prayer and those needs will be met. Even though it's not for the present time, those needs will be met. And I know they will. And I can trust him. He has promised to sustain. My grace sufficient for thee. Spurgeon suffered great bouts of depression. Really bad with depression. He suffered physical pain. He had gout. If anybody ever has gout or had gout, they'll know just how severe the inflammation of certain joints in the body. And it is very and extremely painful. And added to that, see it, Spurgeon. He said in one of his sermons to his dear congregation, he says, if you only knew the depths of my depression and how sometimes I feel, you wouldn't have me as your pastor. See it, Spurgeon. And on one occasion, he was traveling to the Metropolitan Tabernacle in the horse and carriage, very despondent, going to preach the word of God. And that text came to him. My God shall supply. No, he already knew that. He needed something different. And it came to him, my grace is sufficient for thee. And it was that little word at the end that nailed it. For thee. And he knew how personal it was. And he says, it's for me. That's for me. My grace for you. For you. For me. And he took that personal. And God sustained him in ministry. And you know the Lord has promised to stay with us. This very chapter we read. He'll not forsake you. He'll never leave you. And he's the same. The one who said, I'll never forsake you. I'll never leave you. I'm with you. I'll never abandon you. Well, he's the same. He can't change. He is with you. And he'll always be with you. He was with you yesterday. He'll be with you today. And he'll be with you forever. And then he will not change in regard to his promise. He will not change in regard to his power. And finally, he'll not change in regard to his person. Because Jesus Christ, the same. The same in his person. I am the Lord. I change not. And therefore, Jesus Christ will never change. He is love. That's what he is. We read that in Scripture. Behold how he loved. We read that in Scripture. God is love. Christ loved you before he ever saved you. He loves you now. And he'll love you forever. He is love and you're the object of his love. And he's loved you with an everlasting love. And he loved you yesterday. He loves you today. And he'll love you forever. And no matter what's going on in your life, what problems you will face, no matter what difficulties now and what the church will ever be called to go through, I want to tell you something. Christ loves us. Christ loves us and it'll never change. We'll change. Might even feel he doesn't love us, but the change is in me, not in him. He is light. I am the light of the world. And now that you are saved out of nature's darkness, you will walk in the light. And the light means he'll guide and direct you. And he'll be the same, the one who guided and directed. You see, whenever you reach a certain age, like today, you start to think about the future. And I don't like to. And I did. But I was able to trace today, even though I had it as a working day just to get my mind off it. I went out and do visits and stuff and got ready for the prayer meeting. But I had reflection today on everything the Lord had done for me. From my early days when I was saved, I came out of prison with £28 in my name. £28, I was rich, believe me. £28 more than I went into prison. It took me 6.5 years to save it. And the Lord provided everything for me. He's the same. And you know, when the years roll on, and if the Lord doesn't return and he spurs me, I want to tell you, he will still provide for me. And I traced today, beautifully traced. In the time that I had to myself, I traced so much of his love and mercy and his light, his guidance, his direction, and then his provision. And I want to tell you, his life. He's life with a capital L. He's life more abundant. He's eternal life. And he'll never change. It's a better quality of life than the worldling has. Don't be jealous of the ungodly. The prosperity of the wicked. Don't look at their gold. Don't look at their houses. Don't look at their material possessions. Don't look at them, what they can do with their money. Don't look at them. You're far richer than they'll ever be. And you have life. Life with a capital L. A far better quality of life than the worldling ever has and ever will have. There's no life worth living but for the Lord. And of course, one final thought, and it'll finish us here. The Lord Jesus Christ will never change. He is Lord. And he'll always be Lord. And at the end of the age, when he returns to this earth again, the Bible tells me that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is the same Lord. He's the same. Even though they rejected him and legislate against him, even though they hate and despise him, even though they have no time for him, even though they blaspheme him and they persecute his church and they seek to outlaw all of his commandments, I want to tell you one day they'll bow and they will acknowledge he's immutable. He's been always Lord. And he's Lord that day whenever the ungodly bow the knee. Remember, the world around us, even our own very lives, are in a constant state of change. Who would have believed what's happening in the church and in society today, with restrictions and risk factors and masks and social distancing and all that's going on and all that now seems to be coming into the world again? But remember, in the person of Jesus Christ, you have one who is immutable, unassailable, unchangeable, Lord and Saviour. One who loves, cares, and gave his life for you and is willing to help you. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. All may change, Jesus never. Glory to his name. Amen. The Lord will bless his word to all of our hearts. We get down to our season of intercession and prayer. Do remember, please, our sister Jean Glass.